This is Marketplace Money from APM. I'm Barbara Bogave. Tech companies like Google get a lot of attention for the free food they offer their employees. And business gurus have found that food perks and breaking bread together is the easiest way to build worker morale. But judging by the countless blogs dedicated to slamming office kitchens, most companies don't seem to get it. Sadly, the office kitchen is usually a place that's rarely cleaned, often looted, and almost always a bit depressing. And here at Marketplace? Well, let's see.
The office kitchen. The office kitchen.
Oof, it's usually filthy. I keep it clean, that's all I gotta say.
The sink is full of dirty dishes. They leave them there till it becomes an experiment of some sort.
I think we're busy people who sometimes put the oatmeal bowl in the sink and forget that we put it there to let it soak.
Have you ever seen the end of the last Terminator? There was a complete wasteland. When I open the fridge, that's what I think of. And it smells like New York.
I've actually gotten to the point where I purchased plastic utensils and it's worth the cost of not having to even go near the kitchen.
The refrigerator is a federal Superfund site. Frankly, nobody should go into it without the full bodysuit.
Oh, come on, guys. It's not that bad, is it? But do the dirty dishes and moldering leftovers say something about us and our workplace culture? Ben Dattner has put some thought to this. He's an organizational psychologist and also author of The Blame Game, How the Hidden Rules of Credit and Blame Determine Our Success or Failure. And Ben, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Good to be here.
So tell me, can you organizational types learn anything significant about a company culture from the office kitchen?
Absolutely. So in too many office kitchens, it's abandoned, it's desolate, and when you open the fridge, it looks like kids are conducting science experiments in the fridge.
And what do you read from that?
People don't have a sense of ownership over the workplace, that they don't care, that they don't invest enough in it. So former Secretary of the Treasury Larry Summers, in talking about home ownership, said, in the history of the world, nobody has ever washed a rented car. And so if people are not washing the kitchen in their workplace, it means that they see themselves more as renters than as owners. It means that they feel transitory, that they're passing through. They don't have a real psychological contract with the company, with the space, with the workplace. And that's a problem.
How about those refrigerators full of food labeled by name and warnings? And I'm speaking of the Marketplace kitchen now. Do not touch upon peril of death.
Well, it's a real evolutionary arms race between the stealers of food and the protectors of food. So both sides resort to extreme measures. In some cases, there are actually some products on the market where you can buy a bag that is laced with fake mold so that people are dissuaded from stealing your lunch. In an ideal workplace, there should be enough people in and around the communal spaces that people won't even be tempted to drink one another's milk or eat one another's lunch.
In terms of different personality types and how you can read who employees are by the state of their kitchen, what do you think about people constantly bringing in food to share?
Well, it could be sometimes someone considers him or herself to be sort of a den mother or a den father, somebody who provides for everyone, who brings everyone together. So that can be a positive thing. On the other hand, sometimes people who are underperforming think that they can ingratiate and justify their poor performance by being a good cook.
So a sign of insecurity.
A sign of insecurity or an attempt to get special treatment. Organizations also face the dilemma of, if there are violators, do we try to resort to guilt and to conscience, or do we try to resort to shame? And some of those exhortational post-it notes and letters and emails that people send out try to get towards guilt and shame as a motivator. I think it's a dilemma, though, for anybody who is upset about what's going on in the kitchen. On one hand, you want to say, everyone, please clean up after yourself. On the other hand, if you send out exhortations like that, people might come to realize that the norm is to be irresponsible rather than the exception to the norm. So, for example, psychological studies have shown that when you're visiting a hotel, if you believe that other people don't ask their towels to be washed, are willing to have their bedding stay on the bed for an extra day or two, if you believe that the norm is that people do that and you have to opt out of it, you're actually more likely to be environmentally responsible. So similarly, I think it's a dilemma in the workplace. If somebody lets it be known that there is frequent violation, it might paradoxically cause people to be more likely to violate rather than less likely.
I am so overwhelmed. I don't think I'll ever walk into the office kitchen and just get my lunch out of the refrigerator again. Ben Dattner is an organizational psychologist and a professor at New York University. Ben, thanks so much for this.
Thank you. It was great to be with you, and I'm off to get my lunch.
And if you're still curious about the state of our kitchen, you can visit marketplacemoney.org for a look at our fridge. And we'd love to see pictures of your workplace kitchen, disgusting and otherwise. You can post them on Facebook or Twitter at Radio Piggy Bank.